All right. I'd like to excuse Lynn Hobbs. He's not here tonight. He's very ill, and I will be conducting tonight's meeting. Do you need me to do something, Stacy? Okay. Marshall will be here just a second as soon as he gets in from driving my son to home. So we're going to start off with our first school improvement plan, Wilson Elementary, and we're grateful for Sunday. We're grateful that you're here, and we'll take you in whatever condition you can come in. So welcome, and we'll turn the time over to you.
Okay, how would you like me to present this? Would you like me to share the goals that I've come up with, or would you like to go through the questions that you've had? Or?
You have 7 minutes. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, I would just like to say that last year we did not make AYP in two subcategories. One of them was our English language learners, and the other were the impoverished or the poor. I don't know exactly the word. I can't think of it. But anyway, that is one of the places we did not. Those are the two places we are going to focus on this year. And so I've done a couple things. I made you a flow chart, which let me tell you how these thinking maps have worked. You took the school, and on our first day that we had the half minimum day, I think it was September 4th, we met and we said, here's a thinking map. Here's the what we have to have. We have to make adequate early progress. And here are some of the causes that did not make adequate early progress. What could be the effect in making it? And they came up with fabulous things, all which resulted in it. I did the same thing with my community council, showed them the same thing. So this flowchart is a combination of their thinking. And it resulted in some really good goals, all of which we've really been working on hard. And so our first goal is the Language Arts Common Core goal, and it says Wilson Elementary will meet AYP in Language Arts for the 2011-2012 school year. And some things that we'll really use are thinking maps, guided reading to all grades, and the reason this is different is that we've had guided reading all the time, but the ability to have flex time and to work with groups and to change levels for an hour for every grade, K through 5, has not been in place. So this year, 4 and 5 really joined us. And they're in the process of really focusing in on those kids who were at the bubble, who were high. Then also all of our children that we were able to identify that did not make adequate yearly progress, we've specifically named them. We're looking at their reading. We're saying, where are your goals? Where are they? Where are they? And SRI, what's the next goal? And so those day discussions have been fabulous. Along with that, we wanted to create parent universities, which are just a fancy name for literacy nights. But I'd like to tell you how our first parent university went. In our parent university, we actually held it during SEPs. And the teachers had the children guide themselves through making a thinking map about their learning. What are we focusing on? What am I good at? What do I need help on? And then we had the parents take those thinking maps and go sit with some people and have them train all the different kind of thinking maps that could happen. And the children were like, this is what I'm great at. This is what I'm working on. This is what I need more help on. And this is how I'm going to do it. And so we felt that was good. We also, at that parent university, took some of the Singapore strategies, and when the child was in doing the SEPs, they'd say, this is my goal for SEPs, and the parent would just be able to say, walk out in this alcove, there's somebody there in math, we're going to teach you how to play a game with Singapore math. And so we had about a 95% turnout in SEPs, and then we probably had about a 75% turnout in the parent universities where they got specific training on thinking maps, on vocabulary, and on seeing some math and focus strategies, so we felt really good about that. And as we go through, the community council is creating a survey monkey for parents to take to say what kind of training do you want and how would that look, and so we'll kind of look at that. We will train teachers in this framework. We'll look at data, which we've done, and we will define the instruction for each of those different areas. So what is good instruction going to look like for our English language learners? So during our last minimum day, we had Janice Edgington come over and take vocabulary in SIOP training and trained us not only how to be good in vocabulary, but also how to work with our English language learners. Our second goal is math, the Common Core. All students at Wilson Elementary will continue to meet AYP in math. Everybody made AYP in math last year, and so we feel like we're at a good playing field. We're also really implementing the Common Core objectives in math. We're using math and focus to facilitate that. teams are meeting weekly. The district team that creates a template for the grades has been very helpful, so that they come back and they're able to say, this is the direction we're heading, this is the help we can get, this is what it looks like. And so it's going to just be a working process, continue. Many of us are getting our math endorsement, but we're also working weekly with our team to say, this is what it's going to look like next year, next week. What do you need? How can we help you with this? Because it's a steep climb. And so that's really what we're going to look at for our math goal. And our ESL implementation will increase vocabulary development in whole parent universities. Again, we did the parent universities. We had them in different languages so the parents could get, you know, their information in their own language. And we are just going to take our pre-emergent and our emergent and run them through what we call the Newcomers Club. And then based on some of their UALIS scores or their guided reading scores or their writing scores, we'll see how much more they need to have that direct, specific instruction compared to classroom, building, and keep them mostly in the classroom.
That's great.
We're excited. We think it'll be great. We are going to make AYP. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to do it.
How much of an impact did boundary changes have on your school? Is that where it is?
You know, it really is. As we go through all the children who did not make AYP, the majority of them are children that did come from the other city. That is not to say in any way, shape, or form that that's an excuse for us, but it helped us look a little bit different. What the thing at Wilson is that you see a lot of success, and the specific groups that are having some semi-success because they're with kids who are having success doesn't necessarily always apply over to the testing. And so we are excited to really take a better look at that and say, this is the group. We have huge support system over in the new community. They are fun. They are just sweet. And we have an interpreter that we feel is like our other partner. Her name's Mia Mia, and she can call any of those parents, say anything she wants. There's a volunteer that is from another congregation, and she goes and picks up the Burmese mothers over at Riverside and takes them to Hillcrest and to Wilson to be in the classrooms. And mm-hmm. So we feel like that community is really becoming embraced. But our attack skills, and I hate to say attack, but our specific strategies for those children look different than they did last year. I mean, it's specifically more, and what can they do without the somebody sitting right by their side? How can they independently show us what they're doing? The thinking maps have been so fun to watch their thinking and just watch what we have two little boys that I will say are entirely brilliant, and they're in the same family. And one's in fifth grade, one's in first grade. And I am telling you, those little boys speak four languages fluently. They just picked up English, and they think, though their thinking maps are so fun to see. So we have a really nice base there, but our strategies for really looking exactly who exactly got what got they got.
Okay. Any other questions?
How do you use the document camera? Just curious
how
that's applied.
Thank you. We use it a bunch of different ways. First of all, most of us have smart boards. However, that's just one avenue for kids to manipulate up there. The document camera, teachers will put their book under and run their finger along, and kids will read along with them. Another way that we are experimenting with, but we're still experimenting, is by having that interactive iPad up there and putting the document camera. We have about 7 or 8 teachers that have the iPad, and we're really learning how to get some of those apps on there and let kids put it on there and other kids see up there. So a couple of different ways. We use it in when we have our minimum days during the morning at LTMs. Instead of going to prep, the kids come down into a common grade or common meeting place, and we take that document camera and we talk to them about behavior, about what's going to go on, about where they are, looking at their data, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just so everyone can see, everyone can hear, and they can all have
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks, Sunday. Good good luck with your mom.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. It looks like we have next. Thank you very much, Sunday, by the way, as she walks out the door. We appreciate her presentation. Next is Adams. We are grateful to have Principal Jed Grunig here, and we will turn the next time over to you.
Well, this is harder over here. I like the new mic, though. Okay. Well, our school improvement plan, so the processes that we went through to develop that, the first thing we always do is look at data and review data with each grade level team, and they look at how their kids did last year, and they come up with a goal for how they want their students to do this year. I collect each grade level goal and then try to make them fit into a school-wide goal as much as possible. And once we have those grade level goals, I share those with the school community council and go over the same data with the school community council, and they provide input on what kinds of things they would like to see done at the school, and combine those goals into one grade level goal for math, language arts, ESL, and we added a fourth one for customer satisfaction. So our goals, our first goal for language arts was that 82% of our third through fifth graders will be proficient on the CRT in language arts, and that would be up from 78% this year, which was up from 70% the year before. We still have a really tough group of students that are currently in fifth grade that have been difficult since they were in first grade, and we're working hard with them, and I expect to see some improvement with that group of kids specifically. Our math goal is to go up to 85%, and that would be up from 82% this past school year in third through fifth grade. And ESL would be to go up to 70%, and that would be up from 67% from the year before. And our fourth goal is to increase the level of customer satisfaction by 15%. So to measure that, we're going to use our ISQ surveys that we do and figure out some way to quantify positive and negative comments, because I have, I think we've been doing it for 4 years, 4 years worth of data that we could go back to kind of establish a baseline and then hopefully see some improvement. Some of the things we're doing to increase our levels of customer satisfaction, we all read the book called Simple Truths of Service, and you guys, when you came to the school, I think it was last year, we watched that little video about Johnny the Bagger. That's from that book, and there's several other stories similar to that. And then we had a good discussion about customer service, and every teacher created a personal plan for creating raving fans. So basically just a goal for how are we going to help create raving fans of our customers, our parents. And the idea is that we would they'll be so satisfied with what they're getting at Adams, they'll also be motivated to share that appreciation and share that enthusiasm with our state representatives. That's what we're going to do for the customer satisfaction. I call 10 students a day. I usually do it once a week, so 50 of these do it at one time that have received some sort of recognition at the school, and my refocused teacher calls the same number. So we're trying to get as many positive contacts with home as we possibly can, so that we don't have to call home about something negative. We've had all these positive experiences along the way and have built a good relationship. As far as our actions go, we're going to continue with the Big Eight. And I don't know if one of you guys had the glossary of terms on
yes,
it.
Yes, and I have a note. Thank you for the glossary.
That was from the community council.
Because
they suggested
everybody
that.
Everybody else was using the same terms, math and focus, da da da. And yours told me what they were.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you.
Well, my community council came up with that. So.
Good for them. Give it a attaboy. I should call them, shouldn't I?
Yes, Katie Chapman. Big Eight. We're going to continue with the Big Eight, and that's what we've been working on with Ellen and Annette. We're going to be implementing thinking maps, and as I was doing my walkthroughs today, I went down third and fourth grade, and they were all doing their guided reading, and every single teacher was doing a different thinking map with their small group. It was really fun to see. Backward design, lesson study, and common formative assessments all kind of go together. For our professional development time, we provide new information that is either for the new writing core or Math in Focus. We use a thinking map along with that, and then my teachers have time to plan the lesson together that they're going to be teaching. They observe the lesson being taught by one of their colleagues, and then they have time to debrief afterward about how the lesson went. So traditionally, professional development has been a lot of input, but not a lot of opportunities to apply that. So we provide input, but also give them time to plan to make that application piece stick. So we do a lesson study format, and I'm picking a different grade level every time to plan with, and then I teach the lesson that was planned so that I can participate in the debriefing. That's been a great experience and a trying experience at times. You know, it's helpful to remember how hard it is to teach, how hard it is the things we ask our teachers to do. And then with the customer satisfaction, my personal goal is to do 50. Most of my teachers have lots of different things. Most of them are positive contacts once a week. And we've purchased some postcards that say, thank you for choosing Adams, that they can send home with a positive note. But that's been going really well. I've been collecting some stories, some success stories, and some good feedback we've had from parents. So what questions do you have?
You call 50 a day, did you say?
50 a week.
Oh, 50 a week. I thought that's what I read. Then I thought you said, yeah. 50 a day.
No, 50 per week. I do 10 a day.
I think that's great.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long.
You're holding steady at about 50% free and reduced lunch?
No, we're up around 75%. Yeah. We've been close to that for a couple of years.
All of our elementary schools are over 45%, I believe, this year. Wilson is the lowest. I think they're either 43 or 45. And Hillcrest, I think you're at 48? Almost 50.
And the lowest in but the highest in the county is lower than our.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I forgot to mention we did make AYP this year.
Yay!
That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks to
a lot of hard work.
Right. Yeah. Thanks to my teachers that came, and Marianne's here. They had parent teacher conferences right before the break, so that was two evenings. Then we did our literacy night last night. So this is one more thing, so I'm appreciative of them.
Way to go, teacher.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Don't you think he needs to give you, you know, some take over your class for half a day? Mm-hmm. You know?
I will for your birthday.
and do let your, and I will try as I, Katie Chapman, off, but let them know that that was something that it was really great to be able to, and as I look through other plans, I go back to your glossary of terms.
Good, thanks.
It was helpful.
That was great. Yeah. And if you see any of my teachers, make sure you congratulate them on making AYP. It was a lot of work last year.
I did.
And worked very hard to make the improvements we needed to.
And the Common Core changes and all of those other things this year.
It's all good. I was in a fifth grade room today, and they were both fifth grade teachers were teaching, this is October, they're teaching division of whole, partial product division. So they, instead of just coming up with the remainder, they came up with like 4 1/3, instead of having a remainder of 3, 4 1/3, and then converting that into a decimal.
Wow.
And that is like crazy to be happening in October. That has been part of the fifth grade core, but it is a step up. And that's great. It's great to see kids meet that expectation.
How are your teachers feeling about their audio enhancement? Do they use that, generally speaking?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I asked that for you, Jim.
Oh, it's great. When there's a huge difference. If I'm doing an observation and they're not using it, it's not like I can't hear, but when they turn that on, it's, you don't have to strain or you don't have to focus on it. It's really great.
Good.
Good job.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Guys.
We appreciate everything you do and convey that message to your staff. And thank you guys for coming. And Jaden Max Cooley is doing very good. Thank you. I knew you'd want to know that. Yes. Let's see. We're grateful now to be able to listen to.
Well, we might as well go.
We're going to turn the time, well, not turn the time. We're going to have a wonderful presentation by Eric Markworth of Hillcrest since Mr. Long's not here yet.
Okay.
Is that okay if you go next?
I'm great with
Or do you want to sit here for 10
I don't
minutes?
No.
He drove out the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody drew out like Sandy said.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me here tonight. I guess I just want to start off first and talk about what our theme is for this year, because I think it's important to start. I was asked an interesting question. I presented to a group of level one students at USU last night and about the realities of teaching and what teachers face every single day. And I was asked an interesting question. I've never been asked this before. They said, if you're going to start a school from scratch and you could only pick two or three things, what would you pick? So just take a second to think about that. I mean, what would you pick? Well, I think we would all have different answers, but here's what I said. I said, first of all, I think you need to have a vision. You need to have where you're headed and what you'd like to accomplish. Second, I think a well-qualified and caring staff. And then third, to have high expectations of achievement for all. That's what I said. So I kind of want to frame my remarks on those three things, if that's okay tonight. So first of all, our vision this year, that we celebrate our 50th anniversary as a school. Woo-hoo! And appreciate you all for coming. I really appreciate your support. So our theme for this year is to look to the past, engage in the present, to learn in the future. That's our theme. And then I just want to talk about our caring and well-qualified staff for our school improvement plan. You can see our goals there. We really want to focus on inferencing and comprehension skills and language arts, math proficiency, and also with our ASL students, look at math vocabulary and help them with the CRT. And then finally, we did not make AYP, and there's 31 categories. We made it in 30 of 31. Our one we didn't make it was students with disabilities. So we are focusing on our students in that particular subgroup. So as we look at our staff and what we want, we had a very collaborative process with our school improvement plan, with our community, with our school community council, and with our staff. And really, we said, what do we want our students, what's our big vision for our students to be able to do? And we want them to be able to think. That's what we want them to be able to do. We want them to think and to problem solve. We feel like we've done a great job at Hillcrest, and not only at Hillcrest, but also in our whole district, of teaching our kids to get the right answer. But I think we want them now to be able to transition to, why am I getting that answer and how can that help benefit me in my life? So that's really at the crux of our well-qualified and caring staff, is that's our commitment to the 475 students at Hillcrest. As far as high expectations, we do have high expectations for all of our students. For professional development, we have Ellen Williams and Annette Brinkman come in. You've probably heard those names before. She came and did an observation of a teacher, and she was overwhelmed and actually very impressed by the diversity that we have at our school. She says, I counted 10 different kids in a class of, it was a smaller group today, but in a class of 22 that were born outside of the United States. And, I said, it's easy sometimes to have maybe diminished expectations for students. Maybe they don't speak English, maybe they don't have the background that we have, but we have the same expectations of progress for all of our kids. We want them to have at least 1 year's growth and more. And that's our high expectations for all of our students. I also want to say, and just a huge thank you to Title I status is awesome. So thank you very much. I don't think we knew exactly what we had been missing all this time, and I want to thank you for the foresight and for the promoting and giving the resources to us to be successful.
How many new aides do you have?
You read my mind. Thank you, Ann. We have gone, we were talking about this with Ellen, we have gone from 6 aides to 19.
Wow.
And, our school community councils help with that, trust lands have helped with that, other things have helped, but we've really essentially tripled the size of our aides. And one thing that we have done differently, and it's taken us a few years to get there, but I'm very excited that we're at this point, we have power hour going on at every single grade level and differentiation going on every single day in our classrooms. And so we can answer that question, what kids are doing, what do we do if they don't know it, what do we do if they do get it, we're answering those questions on a daily basis at Hillcrest, and I could speak for the whole district there. So as far as technology, we've been able to get iPads in the hands of every single teacher. And so now we're kind of running almost, we're almost there where you guys are kind of at paperless meetings. We're almost there. And we're encouraging teachers to bring their iPads and do things there. And, you know, they are excited. They are very excited about the technology that they have in their hands every single day. With that also, we don't quite have a classroom set of iPads, but we're close. We're getting there. And we have not only, you know, computer, laptop computers, we have two of those, but now we have also almost a full classroom set of iPads that students can use in the class every day. And if we want to prepare them and have high expectations for them, we've got to put in them the tools that they're going to use in the 21st century to be successful. And I want to thank you again for allowing that to happen. I sometimes talk too much, so I'm going to stop here. And so if you have any questions about our school improvement plan or anything else that's going on at our school.
Two that came up. As I read through your things. How was Power Hour accepted? Because that's a totally new way of doing things at your school.
Right. You know, I took a lot of modeling and examples from our the other schools in the district that have been doing this. And so we actually went and visited, Daryl's not here, but we went and visited, and this started 2 years ago, and took a group of teachers over to Woodruff and actually kind of observed their Power Hour. And said, what do you guys like? How do you do it? And then we went to another school and did the same thing. So it's kind of been going on for a couple years. And then what we did is we made the commitment that we're going to do all of our literacy instruction and all of our guided reading in the morning. So we were able to use all 19 of those aids in the morning to help our teachers out. And then we've devoted also aid time in math, so all of our math is taught in the afternoon. So it's really been a process, and I think this has been coming from teachers saying, how can we help meet the needs of our students better? So it was really a bottom-up kind of thing. It wasn't just me saying, we're going to do this. And I think that was important because it was their idea, and I just put the structure and gave them the resources to help them fulfill it.
Great. So. That's really great.
The 50th birthday party was really fun.
Thank you.
You did a very nice job with that.
Thank you.
The kids did a great job, and
yeah,
the community support was just amazing.
And, you know, I hope this wasn't a shameless plug, but when we had, I mean, we literally had over 800 people at our evening celebration, and Anne was there. It was crazy. Holy cow, it was absolutely crazy. And we just kept saying, remember this when you vote for the bond.
Well, and the concern was the fire marshal.
Yeah, it was outside. Yeah. Because we had fireworks. So, but it, thank you. It was awesome. You know, I think
really cool.
They were great, weren't they?
They were amazing.
Yeah.
And we just loved it.
And, you know, my little grandkids were so thrilled about that. And my little kindergartner is a student of the month.
He was a Husky Scholar.
Yes. He came to me and he said, Nanny, I'm a Husky Scholar. The principal. And I just thought, how cute is a kindergartner to be so excited about those kind of things. You're doing good things.
Yeah. Thank you. It was very fun. And, you know, like I said, when I talked to the alumni, there's a time to celebrate, and I felt like, you know, that was the time to celebrate. And so thank you for your support.
And you had great people there from the past.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see faces from the past there and coming to support you in the schools.
Former superintendents, school board members, teachers, students.
And it was very
nice. When Christy had to up in front of people acknowledge a board member she didn't know.
I didn't know.
I was saying, Val, come on.
I caught Marshall's lip reading. I hope it didn't look too obvious. I didn't know who it was, but I really didn't know who it was.
It was great.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was fun. So let's do fireworks every year.
I know,
agree.
Yeah,
let's do it.
My other question.
Yes, please.
How much of your not making students with disability, I know you have the deaf?
They don't have a unit up there.
Okay, you do not have you do not have a unit anymore at Hillcrest.
No,
we
don't.
And so that we can't. That's explanation.
Just students who are with resources.
And all of the other
classes. Yeah,
okay, that was just my question.
We're finding with increased mobility that we've had. I think we Anita and I just added up the other day, we've had close to 60 new students register at Hillcrest within the last couple months. And what's interesting is we're finding increasingly more and more students with special needs that are part of that group that is coming, you know, to all of our schools. And so we've actually gone through and listed every single one of those kids. And, you know, they're on an individualized education program already. But we feel like, you know, we need to make sure that every single one of those kids, their needs are being met. And so, and we've gone through and said, what do we need for this kid? What do we need for this student? And how can we meet their needs? So, we don't have the, you know, a self-contained unit or anything like that, but at the same time, we've got some needs, absolutely.
So, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Express our appreciation to your staff.
Hello.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bridger.
Bridger? Mm-hmm. All right. We'll hear from Bridger next. We're grateful that you're here.
Apologies. I had 4:30 on my calendar, but I had many visitors after school today, so here I am.
Well, thank you for taking care of your visitors. That's very nice. Go ahead.
School plan, we've had some adjustments this year with setting an ESL goal with our other goals. We're still holding, as I hope you saw in there, we're looking at 89-90% for language arts and math proficiencies. With ESL, we're hoping to maintain what we've been doing, but we've added some professional development to the ESL side of the equation. We're nearly to a point where we already have the majority of the staff have ESL endorsements at Bridger, and other staff members are getting that idea that that would be a good thing to have as well. So we're hoping to up the level of expertise in the ESL realm in the building. Probably most interesting in our discussion in developing the SIP this year was the math discussion. And when I first came to Bridger several years ago, we had established our own guideline for how to use math facts as a guide to see where kids were at, how they were performing with their math facts. We've completely revamped that after the community council and committee discussion on the school improvement plan. And this year we've added a number bonds component that starts in kindergarten, first grade, and transitions kids from one skill set to another right up to their math facts. And we're pushing now for mastery of key multiplication facts and division facts by the end of second grade at Bridger. So the staff is on board with that. They've been presented with that plan. Everybody's working to see if they can hit those targets. We'll see how it goes this first year, and I'll let you know how that piece is going. But that's we knew it was time to step up that standard and see if we couldn't reach a little higher with those proficiencies. It's really hard to approach the curriculum if certain basic abilities aren't in place. So that's what's happening on the math front there. With language arts, we've added in with the tracking proficiency with Dibbles. We've also set a target in SRI, and we're hoping that to see 75% of the kids proficient in SRI by the end of the year. When we ended the year last year, we were at 50% of the kids proficient at in SRI. So,
which again is a comprehension measure.
So that's the comprehension part of it. The Dibbles goal has been 89-90% the last 2 years. We usually hit about 80% by the end of the year with our Dibbles. So we have not yet hit those targets, but I truly believe that the targets we've set are what helps us hit the state and federal targets that are out there. Because if we actually hit our targets, we're way above what the state or the federal government's asking us to do on those proficiency levels. And I don't think we can get anywhere near what they're asking without reaching a little bit further. So that's why we're targeting it that way. We're also excited about the iPads. That was part of what distracted me after school today. Several teachers are sharing applications and trying to access the internet and other things at the school, so I was running about helping people do that as well. But they're very excited about having that as a new tool in their classroom. We gave them some iPad covers and things yesterday to help them feel a little more comfortable handling it and putting it in the hands of a child, so hopefully that'll start happening some more as well. And we're really looking forward to the iPad carts coming. We think that'll really enhance some centers and some activities at the school. We have a couple programs up and running already this year. Project Tutors in place again at Bridger, in large part thanks to Ann's efforts as well as others. I don't know if you know her role there, but she works with our volunteers and has helped us get volunteers there for that morning tutoring program. That happens 2 days a week for half an hour before school. We have 35 volunteers right now, and so it's really neat to see the kids with one-on-one people to read with 2 days a week there. We also have the Latinos in Action came to Bridger this year, so they started yesterday, and they come right at the 10:30 hour just before lunch, so there's only a handful of grade levels they can service during that time, but there's been a really positive response to those kids coming on campus and already starting to help out in the classrooms in a similar program with reading with the students. So that's all exciting things at Bridger. We're excited about the award and recognition this year. It looks like we'll take six teachers with us. We're hoping to Seattle in January. And I'm working with Robin right now, and hopefully with everybody's permission, we'll see what we could do about being presenters up there and show them what we do.
Wow. Down here in
Logan.
Is?
The official title is Utah's Closing the Gap Title I School.
That's
the official title. And I'm getting calls from strange people all over the state and answering questions as I can. So,
Dave, on goal number four, what's your current percentage?
On the attendance?
Mm-hmm.
Our actual attendance is hitting right around 80% for the full year. And it really needs to go up. We have a group of about 40 students that make that whole percentage by themselves. Most of the students are there 90-95% of the time. But this group of 40 students, which I've worked with incessantly, some of them have 60-80 days absence in a year.
Including court referrals, which is what our biggest challenge
is. Is it illness or is it other factors involved?
No, it's other. It's choice. It's absolutely choice. There's a balance there because as I have tried to help with the attendance, we've gone through mediation, and the universal response is homeschool if it gets too close to a court action. And that's something we need to avoid.
And then they're back the next year?
And then they're back the next year.
Interesting.
So it's better for the students if we can find a way to keep them coming to school, even the little bit that they're coming, but we have students that are missing 80 days of school in a year.
You're looking at some kinds of incentives?
Many.
Okay.
Yeah, these are, we've tried the gamut of carrot and stick activities here, and none of them are taking hold with this particular group.
This is a parent problem.
So we'll keep working on it. I had a conversation with Officer Bird about one of our troubling families again today, and we're working on some things with DCFS there, and I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But we have a regular check-in with those folks and follow up, and we try whatever avenue we think will motivate them to get their kids to school.
So that's goal number four.
Is a tough one for us.
One you're really going to have struggle with.
And it would make a difference. In some cases, I can point directly to one of those students hindering a score that would have been in the 90th percentile for a class instead of in the 80th percentile.
Okay.
So
we'll keep plugging at it.
It is important.
Yeah.
That's why we keep it there. Any other questions from?
I'm good.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you do, and it was great to be able to visit your school also. That's always fun to be in your midst.
Sorry, I didn't get you out more. I should have done that.
But we'll come back.
Yes. On Friday, 1:30, they're having a dance festival.
Yes, we are.
Hopefully outside.
I have a question for you. How come all these strange people from around the state are calling you?
Mike gets the regular ones coming to visit his school to watch.
I even had a man tell me this last weekend that I'm keeping him up in the night. He had no idea what I was doing to keep him up in the night.
Is that one right at USA?
No.
He's a special director at the state, and he's trying to figure out how we're hitting those closing the gap scores. So.
You're doing great things. Thank you very much. And please express our appreciation to your staff and faculty that we are grateful for all they do at Richard. All right.
Okay, you ready?
We are ready.
What I thought I'd do is just kind of share with you some of the same things that we shared in community council meeting. And you can see from our goals that we have, we're increasing language arts by 6%. And increasing math by 5% on our end of level scores is our measurement. Well, to be honest with you, it's not something that we discuss, but it is a discussion in our community council, and that is that that may not be attainable. I mean, truly, you try to set that as a goal because that's what the bar has been raised to, and there's no child left behind, but. We'll do the best that we can. We're going to keep working toward it, and I think everybody's committed to that. The area of language arts was the one area that we had our students with disabilities that didn't make AYP, and so that was so then of course the whole school becomes
doesn't matter what
the craziness of all of that. But what it has led to is our discussion of, I don't think it's an effort on the parts of our special education teachers, so we're really looking at programmatic types of things. What are we doing that might be able to help some of those kids that are taking resource classes? And the one thing that you notice is that our special ed students receive their language arts through a special education teacher, and then we test them according to the standards that the regular education class has. And so one of the things that we'll work on this year is we're starting a cohort with the state, which is on a co-teaching method, which will be to bring one of our special ed teachers into the regular ed classroom, and then both teachers teach that class, and then have the opportunity to separate low-end, not just special ed students, but some of our more struggling students to work with a special ed teacher and kind of differentiate the class with the two teachers. But what I am hoping to do is to have our special ed students take language arts with the regular classroom, and then the language arts class with the special education teacher as well. So actually double up in those areas of deficiency. And I think we've done some injustices by testing them something different than what they're being instructed in. And so we'll do that both in mathematics and in language arts, and see if that will help some of those students a little bit. But that's where I kind of look at, it's you can't fault the teachers. They've worked hard, and I can't really fault the kids because they haven't been given all that information. So that'll be one of the things that we'll work on in our language arts and our math. Professional development wise, in both areas, we're really going back to the understanding by design model, which is to make sure that we understand what the core standards are, what the standards are by the state, design our assessments, because we want to know what is it the kids need to know, and then design our instructional practices according to that. We're doing that specifically because of the change in the core standards in mathematics and language arts in particular. So teachers are doing a great job of going through that and working hard at it. In math, there is
a certain amount of consternation that comes from parents in not having sixth grade students in an honors program or an honors-based type of program, and then being able to follow algebra and geometry and that. But truly, the change in the core will offer those sixth grade students a pretty good challenge, because there's really some gaps that they're going to have to make up, especially for these next couple of years as we do that. And then our 7th and 8th grade programs, our plan is to create an honors program, but it won't necessarily be an acceleration of mathematics like it has in the past, but more the opportunity that we'll take those kids at a little higher and a little deeper rate, and try to teachers are really working through some of the ideas of not creating more homework or that sort of thing, but to create a higher level of problem solving and getting kids to really enjoy, you know, a little higher collegial atmosphere. And so that's the idea that we'll do with that mathematics. Then the third goal is really looking at our ESL population. And I believe both those goals are very attainable. And we're watching our ESL students by the time that they leave the eighth grade. Many of them are beginning to catch up to their peers. And so we've... when you look at the progress portion of the data with our ESL students, their gains are pretty significant. We attribute that to almost what we did with what we'd like to do with the special ed, and that is more incorporation into the regular core curriculum with teachers that are trained in ESL, which we're fortunate we have probably 70% of our staff that's, you know, 60, 70%.
I think every subject level has at least one teacher, if not more.
Yeah.
Every subject, in the whole school.
And we have created teams at the middle school, and then at each grade level, there's a team that's has all the ESL students, and those are with ESL endorsed teachers, and then another team that will have all the special ed students, or in some grades there's two special ed and one ESL,
depending
on the numbers.
But they're also mixed with other kids, too, aren't they? Because I know that was one of the challenges before, is they were just off by themselves.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea, is that I think learning is going to take place more, they're integrated. The problem that we've had with special education and sometimes ESL, especially in the sixth grade, is those students will come in the latter half of the cluster class, where they've received their service, and then come in for science or else for social studies. And there's a certain stigma that's involved, you know, whether it's stated or not stated. I think that's what we're going to try and avoid is just incorporate those kids so that they're part of that class. The teachers are very much like, hey, we want to have those kids and have them the full time. We feel like if we can do that and then have our special ed support that, and our ESL support it, that will be a lot more effective. So
I didn't understand what Cognos?
Mm-hmm. Cognos?
Cognos, did you say it that way?
Cognos, yes.
That's actually the database that's coming from the end of level test.
You know, all of us, when we went over the testing and showed you how parents, that's all based on Cognos. It's a computer program that allows for you to manipulate the data.
It will be fun to see how all of these changes affect your scores next year.
Yeah.
Well, and not just scores, but the learning.
Yeah.
And how teachers feel about what's happening.
Yeah. You know, I think the other part just that culminates in all of this is that attitude, atmosphere is very strong with those teachers. They're very committed. Class sizes have gone up. We lost 9 teachers last year. We lost all of our instructional aides outside of special education. We've really modified programs. The Discovery program, we're running kind of a way modified version of it. The positive part is more kids are having the opportunity for it. The negative part is I don't think we're helping the kids that we really targeted to the degree that we'd like to. So when you look at level 2 or tier 2 instruction that you'd like to do that, you know, that's been difficult because of the budget cuts. We've lost some of our alternative education where we've been able to do that. We've modified that again. We have about 20 men that are coming in right now. We call them the mountain men, and they're just donating time to come in and work with some of our high-risk kids and pull them off to the side and keep them caught up on their homework. Our efforts this year is to not to have any kids that haven't turned in an assignment. We're saying you've got to at least turn it in so teachers know how to help you. You can't just blow it off and just take a zero. And so at the end of the trimester, if you get questions about this, there is potential that students will have an I on their report card. And my message has continued to be with the parents is that if your students get an I, make sure that you check and see what they need to make up. I'm not asking the teachers to go back and correct things from 2 months ago, but we'll at least give them acknowledgement that they've completed their assignment or turned in their assignment. And that's what we're really asking of the kids.
That's a life skill.
Yeah, it is. It's part of that, seeing a project through or seeing something through and not just quitting. So we're hoping that'll help as they move on to the high school and get it, you know, it becomes a little bit more serious. The other intervention program that we have right now is our Literacy Academy, and we're just, I think we're going to do a little presentation this next month so that you can see what's going on there, but it's really pretty tremendous. And
next Tuesday, KSL is coming up to present to the school around 2 o'clock. They're going to fly their helicopter in.
So you're welcome to come, and we'll enjoy the celebration. But,
do you know what time yet?
About 2.
It'll be about 2 o'clock. They're going to get back, and I'll email superintendent when I know for sure the details.
Mike just gave that to us, and that's exciting. Hard work in that program. That's what they presented to, what you're going to be having in November when they come and present is what they presented to the National Schools to Watch back in June.
Okay. Cool.
So it's pretty neat. And the nice thing about this wasn't, we didn't seek this out. We were nominated through the AmeriCorps folks, and so I just got a call Monday morning out of surprise and said Nadine Wimmer will come up and they'll bring the helicopter in. And
nice.
So, yeah, we're
going
to have a great time. I just don't want the rotors to mess my hair up.
My hair is great.
Doc.
Very good, Mike.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions? We're good.
Appreciate all you
great
do.
Job.
Okay,
you bet.
Thank you very much. All right. Next, we have Ellis Elementary. Sue Sorensen, thank you very much for coming.
You are welcome. I don't know how best you want to see this presentation. Do you guys need to stand up and wiggle yet? You're all
good.
<kind of laughs>
We're good.
Long time going here.
We haven't even been going an hour yet. No,
I know.
We're good.
All I can do is stare at the cover on your computer screen there, Christy. That's pretty nifty.
It's not.
What we did for our school improvement plan this year is a thinking map. We did our circle map where we put our school improvement plan in the center, listed all of the things that we have to have in our school improvement plan, listed the frame. The Ellis staff was part of our frame, the school board, our Title I at the audit year, and our community council and parents. Then what I did is I assigned each of our, then I took the data and put it into a tree map and classified it by what was similar in content. Then I gave each one of these strands to one of our RST teams and had them, then their job was to take it and write what's the action, what they're going to do, what is the measurable outcome, how are we going to know we made it, who will be responsible, when will it be completed, and what professional development we might need as a staff and the technology that we would use. And then we put that together in the school improvement plan. So that's basically how everybody was kind of involved in that. So our school improvement plan includes the goals we want to work for, of course, are 90% of our students being proficient in language arts and 86% of our students proficient in math. And then our ESL plan, our transitions team has designed some vocabulary, that math vocabulary to start with, and then this year they're going to work on academic vocabulary. So we want 90% of our ESL students to pass off academic vocabulary. And for this year it might just be math. We hope we'll have the academic vocabulary ready for them for next year, but that's our ESL goal. We're going to continue, and you've kind of seen some of these before. They're similar to what we've done in the past. We're going to continue to work on our Tier 1 instruction. So this year we're adding thinking maps, and we're still continuing with differentiation, the Common Core, and then the Big 8 strategies of engagement. And we're going to do all those kind of things to help improve writing, which is the overall arching goal of language arts for the district this year. We're going to work with our students at risk and Our programs committee has been studying RTI and the process there. We decided where most of our classroom teachers are stuck is in the Tier 2 instruction. They get Tier 1, how to give it to the whole class. They're really good at working with Tier 3 and trying to get these intervention groups, but how do you give it to kids in the regular classroom a second time? That's challenging with the time constraints, with the kids, the groups, all that kind of stuff. So that's what they're going to focus on, is helping teachers to give kids that second dose in the classroom. Then our third goal is to connect with the district focus for ESL and with our math and focus, and our transitions teams will do that. And again, that's with the vocabulary and then trying to keep everybody going with math and focus. We're going to maintain a high accelerated pace because we know with high expectations the kids will perform better. So we'll continue to monitor all the things we do on a daily basis, our math chapter tests, math facts, writing, comprehension, fluency, and word work. Then we're also, our logistics team is working on understanding and interpreting our ISQ data so that, again, we can help to change some perceptions in our school that we might need to. We're attempting to do email this year with all the parents that have email, so we're going to get that one going. And then, of course, our parent involvement nights. And then logistics just keeps the school running with all of the fun activities for the kids throughout the year, too. So that's the plan in a nutshell. What questions do you have that I can answer for you?
Holy cow. You're fast.
I told the superintendent I could do it in 2 minutes if we done. he usually throws me in to be your catch-up person, I think. So everybody's been on task tonight. That's good.
That's how you're organized, Sue.
She also speaks quickly.
I do. Yeah. When I get nervous, I talk faster. So.
Just a second. Oh, I had a question for you. Just a second. You talk so fast, I didn't get to the end of your thing.
Sorry.
I noticed on your signature page.
Yes, that was fun.
That you only have two. I love that everyone on the staff's there, but we only see two members of your community council. But on the community council reports, I see that you have a full community council.
We do now. We had Melanie Peterson, who was on our community council, but we hired her to be our media specialist. So yes. We did our elections in the spring, so we had to roll and change, and now we have Torhild Shirley, who has taken her place.
But this was signed prior to that.
So I have Todd McDonald, right. Christine Christensen, Torhild Shirley, and then... Brooke Pugmire.
Yeah,
that's my parent.
So actually what's happened is if you look at these six,
Lori Hale, Annette Peterson, and I are the school employees.
So and then the other up there.
The other ones are all.
Oh. Are there? So they're actually.
And our chairman and our vice chair are both parents this year.
Oh, that's what's confusing to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are we saying this?
The six of them: Todd, Torrid, Kristen, Annette Peterson, Brooke, and Lori are all on the community council.
Not
all
Lori.
Right. I think
Lori is the staff part, but yes, on the community council.
Yeah, they're on the community council. Yeah. So, and then Ella's staff was down below.
I just thought that connection that they were going across the page on the top.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's good. Now
I'll work
now
on that. I'll organize better next year.
No, I was very impressed that you had all your staff sign it.
I just feel like they need to be a part of it. If they don't have buy-in for it, then we're not going to make it.
It was great. I thought that was very nice. I don't think I've ever seen one that has all the staff sign. So that was really fun.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Great job.
Yeah, good job. Way to go.
And your school is doing so well.
They're such a good school. They're a good little school. Our staff's working hard, but just as Mike said, the budget cuts are killing us, as you all well know. So
they're killing all of us. Yeah.
They are. It's tough. You know, we're missing aid support that we normally have in there to do intervention groups. It's not there anymore.
How many aides do you have now, Sue?
I have totals... probably we have 65 staff altogether, and of that 65, 30 are teachers, so I probably have 30 aides.
Wow. Right.
But again, they're all cut into those little chunks of time now that we can't do the full time thing.
Who worked, they were
we had 5.9 people that have been there forever that got cut to 3.5 this year, so tough call for them as well too.
Yeah.
But we do what we can, right?
Yep.
We love kids, and that's what it's all about.
And hope for better times.
Yes. And we are in support of whatever you need us to do for our legislators. And I have some pretty active parents that are ready to go, too. When you're
good. We had some of them show up to our legislative meeting, which was nice.
Good.
Yeah.
It was very good. They really feel passionate about it.
Yeah.
I think this is a good year to go for us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank you
all you much. Do. Express our appreciation to your staff as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, Daryl Guyman will now be talking to us about Woodruff. And he knows he can beat Sue's record by 2 minutes.
I won't try, but Sue sets the bar very high for all of us. I don't like following. Next time, put me before.
Talk to Stacy.
As you look at our school improvement plan, if you've seen it from year to year, you see a very similar format and very similar type of goals, because we found that these goals to focus on work well for us. We start the process of our school improvement plan last May. About the third week of May, we pull together all the data we have at that point throughout the year. We pull together some preliminary end-of-level stuff that we have at that point. We do invite our community council in. We work together as a whole staff. Our data team, responsive school team, puts all that information together. We then review through that information and look where our strengths are and look where the areas we need to tighten up. And then we came back together in August as we came back together to our opening faculty meetings, again working with our community council, invited everybody in, took a look at what we had written as a preliminary, looked it over, is this what we want to have, and we ended up being where we're at here with our school improvement plan. Some things that are a little bit different if you look at goal number one. Rather than setting a standard goal, we focus at this area on our reading goal for Dibbles and then the SRI, Scholastic Reading Inventory. Rather than just saying everybody's going to be at 80% or everybody's going to be at a set, we decided as a staff this year to look at the kids of where they ended up last year and to set that goal based upon the kids we're getting versus just a set standard. And so each grade level went through and set their goal. We've got an incredible group that starts a great foundation. Last year in our kindergarten, we had 100% of our kids at benchmark. That's exciting to get that benchmark started. And one thing you'll notice about the first grade is you'll see two goals there. You'll see the 47 and the 60. The 47 is written because that's what Dibble's benchmark is for the end of the year for first grade. 60 is what's on the state core. And so as a district last year, we started to focus on the 60. That's a big challenge for first grade. So last year we set a goal of 70% of our kids at that 60, and they got to 69%, so we're just about there. So that this year we raised it up to 75. So that group keeps raising their expectation for kids and doing what they can to get them there, and you'll see the other grades across on there. Some of the activities that we'll be doing, again, focus on progress monitoring, making sure we're keeping track of how kids are doing. Our power hours, and again, we do very much appreciate that we are a Title I school, because that's what allows us to get all this great help we have, especially in the morning time for our power hour groups. We are continuing to focus on our Big 8 engagement strategies. We understand that in order for us to be successful, we have to have that foundation of those strategies in place. And then with writing, and then our big focus for writing is, again, the thinking maps on that part. And a big focus on nonfiction, trying to get more and more. And also, looking at that, realizing that every kid can do it at every grade level, and it's fun to, come in sometime, we'll get you an opportunity to come and see how even kindergarten kids are taking these thinking maps. We had a group of kindergarten kids who took a field trip to the old grist mill with Valdi Christensen. Took them on a great tour. I went with one of their groups. Great bread down there we got, nice and warm. And the kids filled out a circle map, and then they took that into the writing, kindergarten kids. Now, they didn't actually do the writing, but they're the ones who provided all the ideas. And so it's fun to see how kids at that age were starting to get that going. The math goal on there, this is staying the same, but last year we had the math benchmarks. This year we have math in focus. We're going to use the chapter assessments that come with those, along with there are three benchmarks that are provided in math in focus. And so with math in focus, we're learning a lot about that this year. Some good things we have, some frustrations that we're all experiencing with that, but we're learning about it and we're taking time to learn more. Along with that, though, we're not forgetting that there's a lot of just basic math strategies that work no matter what curriculum we end up choosing, whether it's math in focus or whatever it is. We've got a lot of great math strategies. Again, the engagement there, and then the CPA, the concrete pictorial abstract concept, to make sure we're following that. Goal number three is with our LEP students to make AYP for that subgroup. To continue to make it in that group, we'd have to be at approximately about 63% or greater, so that's our goal on that, on the language arts CRT And again, the big focus there is the thinking maps. And again, if you ever want an opportunity to come and see that, the great thing about the thinking maps is how that encourages thinking, but how that turns into discussion and writing. And getting these kids who were trying to work on the vocabulary and getting them speaking, getting them an opportunity to think and giving them a tool to be able to do that. I don't know if yours has the goal number four on it, but we always stay with our goal. A fourth goal is always behavior. Woodruff has changed a ton in the last 10 years. And one of the big things that has happened is a huge, huge, huge positive improvement in behavior. And that's allowed us to teach. And so we continue to have a school-wide focus on what those are. 150 or less class 2 referrals down to a refocus and 80 or less aggressions. And that's with a growing school. And that's we're staying... We need to be set, working well for us.
Are a lot of those, Daryl, repeaters?
They are. And so, for example, we had the same goal last year of 150, and 40 of them were one student coming in. So it ends up being and a lot of the same repeat students. The great thing about it is when you and we've seen this transition at Woodruff, when you move from a do whatever you kind of approach to discipline in your classroom to a consistent school-wide approach where kids know what it is, whatever room, whatever it is, it changes things totally with that consistent approach, and that's what's happening where we're at. Questions, if you have any for me.
So has that person had any problems so far this year, or is it getting better?
That person has had a great year. They were able to go to a medical profession and get some medicine.
Wow.
That they take on a daily basis, and they're not having a perfect year, but they're having an incredibly
better.
Great year. I get to play Legos with this kid two or three times a month.
I was there when that happened.
So that's been
as
a
reward?
Thing. As a reward.
Oh, very nice.
I'm not sure if it's rewards for the child or
I think it's
all.
A reward for me.
Yeah, because that sounds like...
But I do need a new set of Legos. I'm getting tired of the one I have, so I got to go find something else.
Yeah, there's some fun ones out there. I notice you do have a lot of new teachers.
Yeah. A lot of new teachers.
I know last year was hard when your one grade didn't make it because it was basically just one grade, right?
That yes.
Cause you, and yet I know they were great teachers and you've lost part of them. How is having so many new teachers going to affect your school this year? Is it getting them up to speed?
It's difficult. We have... I don't know the exact percentage. I think we're between 40% and 50% of our teachers are provisional.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult in the fact... Now, we've got some great teachers. The good thing about the last couple of years, I'd say if there is a good thing with the budget cuts, is we have a huge, great candidates. And so we have some great teachers, but it takes time for those individuals to get up. So we are concerned about that, but we also know that if we can give them some good help and if we can try to keep them around, if we can find jobs for their husbands, that'll be better. The concern is we end up doing work with 2 or 3 years with these individuals and then husband gets a job, has to get a job out of state or someplace else, and we lose those great individuals. And so it takes some time. You can't do it that first year. I've seen some incredible teachers, but it takes time to become incredible and to become where a lot of teachers are at. A lot of training, a lot of effort put into those individuals.
A lot of effort on your part.
We've got an incredible literacy coach who has a huge job to help work with those teachers. We do have Charlotte Behrman down at our building, who we're starting to get more and more involved with those teachers, and that's been a big benefit to get her helping a little bit in the time that she has available to help Woodruff with all her other duties as a district duties. So that's been a plus.
Is it normal to have, I noticed on most of the school improvement plans that those new teachers had, well, the mentor teacher had multiple new teachers. Is that normal? Or is it based on like 1-to-1?
No, it's 1-to-3.
1-to-3.
Oh, 1-to-3.
Yes, in the mentor program. And mainly that's because of funding.
Oh, okay. That would make sense.
Yep.
And do those mentor teachers, do they want to do that? Is that something that they're excited to do?
Yes. The hard part is them finding the time. The good thing is I think most of our elementary schools, I'll speak for Woodruff in particular, have a system set up where these teams have time to plan together and they have common prep times. And so you have those natural times to work together. But it is hard to ask them to do a lot more just because they're so busy themselves and so finding that time. But, yeah, they do want to. I think we try to choose individuals who have a passion for their job and a passion for kids learning and wanting to help other people. The positive about having new teachers coming is that they, our mentor teachers, see the impact they have on them, and so they get excited about that, I think, the ability they have to be able to help. I was just in today covering for one of our fifth grade brand new teachers while she went and watched her mentor teacher teach math, an incredible math teacher, and so it's great to have those opportunities to be able to do that.
And how does your school do with using their audio enhancement?
They are in every room. Most, I would say probably 85% of our teachers use them pretty much all the time. There are some who have a hard time, whether it's remembering or having that thing stuck around the neck, that aren't quite where they could be. But we're pretty high with them getting used.
Nice. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Express our appreciation to your staff and faculty as well. We are grateful for all you do at Woodruff.
Thanks for all you do.
Yeah, go Wildcats. All right, and to sum it up.
And his hair is a lot better than it was yesterday. It was blue. They were having a celebration day, and he was in with blue hair. So it did wash out.
You're having way too much fun down there playing Legos and dyeing your hair blue.
I know.
We vote Dan Cox dye his hair blue.
You wouldn't tell the difference.
Your whole head.
It wouldn't be blue. It would be red. Yeah.
No, it would be funny. I bet all the kids would like it to see blue.
Probably they'd rather be red or crimson or gold.
Yes. Thank you for being here tonight.
Hey, we're glad to be here. This process for us began actually in the spring, but we worked really quite hard with our community council during the summer with looking at budgets and looking at trust lands and different things as we went through this. And so it's been a good process for us to go through and then to set these goals. And they've been hand in hand with us as well as working with our, we got one of our counselors here and other people and the other faculty in our school. So our first goal is to create expert thinking and complex communication using writing as our outline by the Common Core. And what we're looking at there is we had a large group of teachers attend the workshop out at Mountain Crest on the Common Core this summer. We have other teachers that are involved with Jeff Wilhelm as well as the thinking maps. And so what we're looking at is argumentative writing and getting our teachers in all curriculums to use 10% of their teaching towards, or use that as the goal, is increase their writing within the argumentative or informational text. We feel like that's a real push that we need to have, and we hear the teachers talking about it. Those that have attended some of these workshops have really came back quite excited. In fact, Doug, and that's why I got Doug and Kirk here a little bit. Doug is going to be working with, I believe next week, with Deanna, bringing in all the people that have gone to these workshops to start working on some professional development where we can pick the parts that we want from each of these groups that we feel like we can benefit within the departments, then have individual department meetings and really get something strong going out of that. The outcomes, self-report by teachers of 10%, and then also we're going to be able to see that as we go through our drop-ins. We're actually looking at a little bit of an increase on our ACT. I think it's right at 20 right now with all our juniors, and we're looking at trying to get that up to 21 on their composite score. And then as you can see, there are some gains in our LA CRTs as well as our AP pass rates. We want to move it back up. It's been constantly moving in a positive direction since we changed our schedule. We've got about twice as many students taking the AP classes now as we did when we were on a five-period trimester schedule, which has been one positive area, and then we're starting to see a gradual increase in our test scores too. So we're thinking that a 2% gain could be pretty strong for us in there. Number two, our number two goal is within our math. We've introduced the Math 1 through the Common Core. We're following the state model there to where we'll put in Math 2 next year, as well as Math 1. This year we have Math Honors 1 as well. We're really working hard with our teachers. We're working hard putting in their scope and sequence and looking at that as we go through. The toughest thing there is how to measure where we're going, because there's no test out there to measure against anybody other than our own students right now. And so we'll be looking at the individual and department assessments, formative assessments, as we go through that. Goal three is working with our ESL population. We had Sydney Walmsley has gone out and approached the university, and we now have some university students coming down to help us with some after-school tutoring, volunteering their time coming down, and so we're excited about her being able to do that for us and get that going. We also allocated some of our trust lands money to have at least two ESL aides there that can go into the core classrooms and work with these students as we go through. And our goal there is a 10% increase in the proficient on the LA CRTs with the beginning and the developing ESL students. We feel like that is something that we can target and look at, and you know, hopefully that's a goal that we can reach. And then our mentoring program is our fourth goal, putting that into to full speed right now. I just visited with Larry and yesterday, as well as Doug. They feel good about where it's heading. We've had some frustrations with teachers because they forget that these students have been struggling for quite a while, and their attendance, and they haven't been as good as students, and so they're not sure where they're at. And some of the teachers are expecting just kids to jump on board and go with them. But I think they've came to the reality now that, hey, these kids, they need a little extra, and they're not as comfortable in the classroom as our gifted students. It doesn't mean they don't have the intelligence to succeed. And I think what we're finding now is they have some people that believe in them. After being in school now for a quarter, they know that there's people that are going to reach out to them every day, every week, and get somewhere with them. I think it's a big goal. At 10% or fewer will fail, but I think it's doable too. I think our students are sharp enough if we can get them to go to class, and I think that's the biggest hurdle that we have, and then get the skills they need to be able to be successful. If you go back up to number one and look at that goal, I think that has a trickle-down effect to where we can help these kids that are struggling a little bit as well. Questions?
On your U.S. university volunteers, any criteria on their qualifications that you look at? How do you make sure that they meet all of the...
Well, we're working with the ESL program up there as well. And so
they're doing it up there?
Yeah, and making sure. And we're working through them up there.
Okay.
I've stepped in a couple times after school, and Sydney's there with them, and Sydney directs it, and this Lord, they're good kids, college kids, and they're earnest to me. And it's part of their service programs, it's part of their service for the so they're watching me.
We had a really good meeting last week with our community council too, talking about getting some volunteers in the school, and they're excited for me to get a list to them about what they need volunteers for, and so we'll look at doing some tutoring with math and writing after school, and maybe some other areas, as well as maybe getting some hall monitors during the day, and so we're coming up with a list, and so they're excited about being able to help us out there as well.
I am very grateful for your community council. It's been an interesting experience to watch them over the summertime and really step up to the plate and take charge and to really direct that council in the way they it should have been done. And just it was just great to be able to, you know.
It's a strong group,
and they've done a great job. Yeah, so. They've done a great job.
Yeah, very passionate about the kids.
It's been very nice just to see, you know, the comments that we've had from other people that says, you know, wow, they really did a great job, you know, with the meeting, and it was very respectful, and they're good problem solvers. So I just laud your community council on just doing a good job with
handling
that.
Make sure they know that.
Well, and I love the idea of the community council helping you get volunteers. I know 12, 15 years ago when I was PTA president there, we had all kinds of parents who would love to come in, but it was, where do they fit? Where can we utilize them? And if you can have some specifics,
right,
and if it's the writing and the math, and come be in our halls,
that's
really great.
Yeah, it was a good meeting, and it was exciting to listen to them talk about, hey, I can go out and get five guys right now. So, I think we're on the right track, and like I say, it's a strong group and really good parents that are excited about helping out. So,
there's no reference to South in this.
And, you know, I've got some little notes up here. North and South are heavily involved with all of these. When you look at South, obviously the fourth goal is we're trying to keep as many kids at the school as possible. But if you look at number one, number two, and number three, we have those kids. They have to have the Common Core. And we have to be able to teach that down at South Campus, as well as the young ladies that are going to be coming across the street and taking classes at the high school from North Campus. And so we feel like all these goals, we feel like when it says Logan High, it's Logan, it's all our kids from North, South, and the high school.
But
so,
how's the new program being, is it implementation of the new program for South effective, and is it
as far as what we're doing in the math and so on?
Well, that we changed the rules for going there and, you know.
Because we just had a young man from Oregon and another. Where was the young man that Rayanne came in with today? Texas. That want to get involved in that program. One was talking about getting a GED, but he wants to get in the armed services and knows that he needs to have a diploma. Behind on credits a little bit, but we said, hey, we still need to have our meeting. We can't just all of a sudden sign him up and send him down there. We need to have the people that, the little committee, to make sure that he meets the criteria to go down there. And I think he will. We feel good about it, but at the same time, it's like, no, the stop sign's here, and we've got to go through the criteria that we talked about before we just automatically ship somebody off. So I feel like it's going good. I think that we've got some hard-working teachers down there. I think the young lady that we hired to teach English down there was a good find for us, and I think she's helping out that program probably as much as any one thing we've done, as we found a high-quality person to teach down there in that role.
Very nice. All right, any additional questions?
What time's your ball game on Saturday?
1:00.
Okay. Is it at Logan?
At Logan, Saturday
and
afternoon.
And you'll find out who you're playing.
Yeah, right now, I don't know if they play at 3 or at 7, but it's Harriman or Springfield. So
at Harriman, I think they're playing at Harriman.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
That was one of the flaws of the realignment, is that should never, ever happened, to where we had to wait for a play-in game. But
we
can talk about that.
Maybe the next time.
Yeah. We got just another year and a half, and we'll be in another realignment. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll expect to see your hair crimson then on
crimson.
Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And Kirk's...
it's just on crimson.
It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
Gray hair doesn't take color.
Oh, we can get it to take.
It's always a wig.
There's always a wig. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have to do the wig.
Yeah. And good luck with accreditation. Yeah. Hopefully this is kind of a good starting point of...
We've been working hard on that, too. So we've got a good committee going on that, and our teachers are working on it. And we've had parents attending meetings for that as well. So it's
a lot of work, so good luck with that.
Thank you very much. Express our appreciation to your staff and faculty, that
Community Council,
for their excellent work, and we appreciate all you do. So thank you very much.
You know, our state board representative in this area has just had some recent surgery on her arm.
Yeah.
And her son reported today to us that she was doing well.
Good.
Yes. In case you think, you know, concerned about Kerrville Park.
Yeah.
Her heart was kind of fluttering and beating, and sometimes electrical connections weren't working well, so that's supposed to be taken care of.
Perfect. Thank you for the update on her.
Thank you.
All right. We will take a short break, and
till
then
6 o'clock.
We will re-adjourn at 6 o'clock.
And we've got food.
Is that all I need to say?
We have some food next door.
Okay.
But first you have to eat all these walnuts.